I also really liked your idea of building smart devices, IoT devices that aren't connected to the internet. Can you elaborate more?
Yeah, you know, I like to say when I'm talking to friends and family about the Internet of Things, there are a lot of really interesting, shiny-looking gadgets out there. But as someone who has a background in computer security and also someone who has a background in developing production software in the tech industry, I'm very wary of devices that might live in my home and be connected to the Internet. I should say low-power devices or smaller devices, IoT devices that might be connected to the Internet. And that's because the landscape of security is so underdeveloped. We think about where I like to draw a parallel between the Internet of Things today and desktop computers in the mid-90s. When desktop computers started going online in the 90s, we had all sorts of problems because the operating systems and the applications that ran on those machines were not designed to be networked. They were not designed ultimately with a threat model that involved an attacker trying to probe them constantly in an automated fashion from all directions. And it took the software industry, you know, a couple of decades really to get up to speed and to really harden those systems and craft them in a way that they would be resilient to attackers. And I think that based on the botnet activity that we've seen just in the past year, it's really obvious that a lot of the IoT systems that are on the Internet full-time today are not hardened in the way that they need to be resilient against automated attacks. And I think that with IoT systems, it's even scarier than a desktop or a laptop or a mobile phone because the sort of inevitable progression toward intimacy of devices. So we look at the history of computing. We started out with these mainframe devices or these, you know, massive, colossal things that lived in the basements of the great universities in this country. And we've progressed from those devices to through mainframes and, you know, spread throughout industry, through personal computers and now to mobile phones. With each step, these devices have become more integrated into our lives, have had access to more of our personal data, and have become ever more important to our sort of daily existence. And IoT really takes us to the next step. It brings these devices not just into our homes, but into our kitchens and into our bathrooms and into our bedrooms and our living rooms with our children. And the data that they have access to is really, frankly, scary. And the idea of exposing that data, exposing that level of intimacy, intimate interaction with our lives to the big bad internet without the hardening that it deserves is just really scary. So that's, you know, a bit of a soapbox, but I'm just very cautious about bringing such devices into my home. However, I see some benefits. I mean, there are certainly, well, I think that a lot of the devices that are being marketed today with computer smarts in them are frankly a bit ridiculous. There are ways that we could sort of try and mediate their access or mediate attackers' access to them such that they were a little less scary. One way to do that is, as you mentioned, and as we discussed before, to not have them be just online. You know, have things be networked via less powerful protocols like Bluetooth Low Energy or something like that. That poses challenges when it comes to updating software or having firmware or software on a device or having a device be able to communicate to the outside world if we want to be able to turn our light bulb in on the back porch on from our phone when we're 100 miles away. It's difficult or more difficult if the light bulb is only really connected to the rest of our house by Bluetooth, but it's still possible. And I think that that's something that we need to explore.
Do you think that's where design comes in, where, okay, well, now we've created all these IoT devices and we haven't incorporated privacy and security methodologies and concepts in it, but it sounds like we're scrambling to fix things. Are we able to bring design thinking, a terminology that's often used in that space, into fixing and improving how we're connecting the device with the data with security and privacy?
I think so. I mean, I think that what's happening today, the sort of atmosphere or environment that we're in now, people are saying, oh, I'm supposed to have smart devices. I want to ship smart devices and sell smart devices because this is a new market. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my thermostat and also my television and also my light bulb and also my refrigerator and also my washer dryer, and I'm going to just put a full internet stack in them, and I'm going to throw them out on the big bad internet without really stopping to think, what are the needs that actual people have in networking these devices? Like, what are the things that people actually want to be able to do with these devices? How is putting these devices online going to actually improve the lives of the people who buy them? How can we take these devices and make their increased functionality more than just a sales pitch gimmick and really turn it into something that's useful and usable and advances their experience? And I think that we, frankly, need more user research into IoT. We need to understand better what are the needs that people have in their real lives. Okay, you want to make a smart fridge. How many people, you know, would benefit from a smart fridge, and what are the ways that they would benefit? Who are the people that would benefit? What would that really look like? And based on the actual needs, then try and figure out how to, and here's where we sort of switch to the security perspective, how do I minimize access? How do I minimize the damage that can be done if this machine is attacked while still meeting the needs that the humans actually have? Is there a way to provide the functionality that I actually know that humans want, that the human people need, without just throwing it on the internet willy-nilly? And I think the challenge there is that, you know, we're in an environment where IoT devices, the environment is very competitive. Everyone's trying to be sort of the early mover, trying to get their device on the market as soon as possible. We see a lot of startups. We see a lot of companies that don't have any security people and only have sort of, you know, one or two designers who don't have the opportunity to really go in and do research and understand the actual needs of users. And I think, unfortunately, that's backwards. And until that gets rectified and we see companies both exploring what it is that people actually will benefit from and how to provide that in a way that minimizes access, I think that I will continue to be pretty skeptical about putting such devices in my own home.
And so we've spent some time talking about design concepts and security and merging them together. How can someone get started? How do they start looking for a UX designer? Is that something that Simply Secure, the nonprofit that you're a part of, can you help in any way?
Yeah, so that is actually kind of exactly what Simply Secure is. It has set out to do as a nonprofit organization. You know, we've recognized that it's important to have this partnership between design and security in order to come up with products that actually meet the needs of people while also keeping them secure and keeping their data protected. And so Simply Secure works both in a sort of information sharing capacity. We try to sort of build a sense of community among designers who are interested in security and privacy topics, as well as developers and security folks who are interested in learning more about design. So we try to be sort of a community resource. We, on our blog and our very small but slowly growing GitHub repository, try to share resources that both designers and software developers can use to try and explore and expand their understanding at the intersection of security and design. And we actually, as an organization, do ourselves what we call open research and consulting. And the idea here is that an organization, and it can be any organization, either a small nonprofit open source organization, in which case, you know, we work with them potentially pro bono, or a large for-profit tech company, or a startup, in which case we would, you know, try to figure out some sort of consulting arrangement. But we work with these organizations to help them go through a design process that is simultaneously integrated with their security and privacy process as well. And since we are a nonprofit, we don't just do sort of traditional consulting where we go in, do UX research, and then come out, you know, with a design that will help the company. We also go through a process of open sourcing that research in such a way that it will benefit the community as a whole. And so the idea here is that by engaging with us and sort of working with us to come up with a design or research problem, a problem that an organization is having with their software project, they will not only be solving their problem, but also be contributing to the community and the advancement of this work as a whole.